This is a picture of Jonah after being spit up on the shore. Now, the passage that you heard today is the second chance that Jonah received. And in many ways, the story of Jonah is a story of second chances, both for the people of Nineveh and for the people of God. Second chances are what we understand when we discuss grace and when we discuss God's forgiveness. You see, none of us would need grace if we didn't need a second chance. None of us would need grace if we answered God when God called. None of us would need salvation if we were the people that God intended us to be. But when God calls, we go the other way. When we are called to act, we think that God needs someone who's better, wiser, smarter, better looking, something different than who we are. And so we act like Jonah. We disappear when the call is made. We find ways to avoid what God and the people of God need. Jonah was a prophet, a man of God. And Jonah's story is perhaps the most well-known of all of the misunderstood stories of the Old Testament. You see, we all know about Jonah and the whale, don't we? Except Jonah wasn't swallowed by a whale. Whales couldn't swallow Jonah. We all know the story of Jonah being spit up on the shores of Nineveh, except Nineveh doesn't have a shore at the Mediterranean. Because Jonah wasn't spit up on the shores of Nineveh. He was spit up back into Israel and had to walk to Nineveh. We all know the story, don't we? But we don't know the story at all. We think that the story of Jonah and the whale is a good news story about a good man. But it's a good news story about a bad man who follows a good God. It's a good news story surrounded by the ugliness of human behavior and inclination. It's not a story of faithfulness, but it's really a story of God's faithfulness in the midst of our faithlessness. It's a story of salvation for the enemy. I explained it this way to a group. Today, the big news in the NFL is that Tom Brady has an injured hand. And Jacksonville Jaguars fans are licking their chops that maybe the best player in the universe won't be able to suit up. Jonah is the story of what would happen if the team physician from the Jacksonville Jaguars miraculously healed Tom Brady, just so he can go and spank the tar out of his own team. Jonah had a reason to run away from God's call. When I was growing up, I loved to listen to the radio, and for us, the radio meant AM radio. And one of the things I loved every time I got a chance was to listen to Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story. How many people here remember Paul Harvey? Okay, every hand over 40 just went up. And those under 40 are looking at each other saying, who is this? Well, Paul Harvey was one of the first syndicated talkers, really. And he had a show in which what he basically did was he told you a story about an underdog, a behind-the-scenes story about someone who you know is famous, but you didn't know how they got there. The rest of the story was about how the courageous person found their courage, how the successful businessman found their way, how the great athlete learned to walk and throw a ball. The rest of the story was the behind-the-scenes story of struggle in the hero's life. And for that reason, those of us who grew up listening to it discovered that we loved the underdog story. We love the story of the man or the woman who pulled themselves up in the American way, overcame adversity, and struggled to become successful. Jonah has the rest of the story. Jonah's name is a dove. And it's fascinating that Jonah the prophet is called essentially to be the Holy Spirit for a nation of people. Jonah is one of the few prophets who Jesus name drops and compares himself personally to. In Matthew 12, Jesus is having a confrontation with the Pharisees, and they say, "Give us a sign." And Jesus says, "I'll give you a sign. This faithless generation is going to receive the sign of Jonah. And I will be in the belly of the earth like Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days. Whoa. He continues that the faithless generation will grow to see the Ninevites inherit the kingdom of God. Those who are outside will be inside, and those who are inside will be outside. The sign of Jonah. We see it as a sign of resurrection, a sign of descent into death and resurrection from the dead. The ultimate second chance. But we also see the sign of Jonah in that the salvation that God is preparing might not be for the home team. It might not be for those who we consider the people of God. And that's a scary prospect for those of us who grow up in the church, who consider ourselves to be the righteous. You see, this is a difficulty that the church faces. We think we're the righteous and that God will do anything for God's righteous. But here's the problem. God expects the righteous to act righteously and to know the heart of God. If you love me, you will love the people I love. That's what I share with my family. That's what I share with you. You want to love me? Love the people I love. I didn't get this out of the ether, out of the air. I got this from Jesus. If you love me, you will love my people. We don't like to love people that are different than us. And we certainly don't like the idea that we have to love the enemy. Our Washingtonian friends and leaders need to learn from Jesus what it means to work with people you don't like. It's not necessary for you to like people you work with. And here's the important thing. Dr. King told it to us. You don't have to like the people you love. You have to love the people God sends to you. That's a difficult thing for us to understand and to wrap our arms around, because we think that love is a deeper form of like. But it isn't. Love is a command by God to understand that the people who God loves, God's people are instructed to love. Now, whenever I read the 23rd Psalm, I read this passage, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." We know the 23rd Psalm. We read it, we follow it, we understand it. This is our psalm, we say. But what happens when we fear the people God loves? What happens when the people that God is sending us to minister, we are so afraid of that we won't reach out in love and concern for them? You see, this is the story of the Good Samaritan who loved someone everyone else was afraid of. This is the story of the people of God who refuse to go into areas that are dangerous because we're afraid Now, Jonah was afraid to go into Nineveh. First thing that we have to recognize is Jonah had a reason to be afraid. The Ninevites weren't good people, and they had no love for Jonah's God. The Ninevites actually worshipped false gods. They worshipped pagan idols. The Ninevites were the Assyrians. Nineveh is in what we would recognize as modern-day Syria. And the Ninevites had this desire to conquer the world. Syria was one of the first worldwide conquerors. But there was something more important that Jonah was afraid of. You see, Nineveh had been prophesied to conquer Israel. Jonah knew that if Nineveh was allowed to stay alive, if God didn't destroy Nineveh, then Nineveh would destroy his country. Now, some people are able to act outside of their own self-interest, but very rarely are we able to do this. Most of us act for ourselves. Okay? We like to talk to the people that are at the head table at the party. We've never really grown out of the understanding of knowing who the rich and the famous are and wanting to get to know them a little better. We play into interest. And right now, if you look into Washington, each person is playing to their interest. Who is it that is going to serve them? Who's paying for them to act? What does their party or their perspective think is going to be to their benefit in the next election? Few act outside their own interest. Jonah was not part of the few. When God called Jonah to follow, to go to Nineveh and to preach, Jonah's first recourse was escape. He left. He went the opposite way. He got on a boat when he needed to take a walk. He went west when he was instructed to go east. He went away from Nineveh and away from God. And this begins the role reversals that God's going to have for Jonah in his ministry. You see, Jonah was called to be a fisher of men. But what God's going to show Jonah is that he's simply bait. Jonah is asked to go minister to a people who actually worship a fish god. Remember I told you the Ninevites worship false gods and pagan idols? Their lead god was a god by the name of Dagon. He was the fish god. He was the father. Dagon is the father of Baal. In the Old Testament, Baal is the big bad. In fact, when we talk about Beelzebub, the devil, that's Beelzebaal is really what it means. Dagon is Baal's dad. He's bad news. He's a sea creature that lives in the depth. He's part human, part fish, and he ruled Nineveh. Jonah tries to escape from God, and he gets swallowed up by a creature named Leviathan. The rabbis talked about Jonah, and the rabbis didn't say that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. They said that Jonah was swallowed by a huge fish, and they said that that huge fish was a fish by the name of Leviathan. Now, Leviathan, if you look in Job chapter 41, you'll find that Leviathan's a very interesting creature. Job chapter 41 says that Leviathan is a fire-breathing sea monster. Now, that's crazy, right? I mean, this is a beast from the depths. Now, we got to understand a couple things about the Jews. They were afraid of the depths. The sea was the place of chaos. In fact, the very creation story itself recognizes the sea as a place of chaos. Before God created the heavens and the earth, all there was the chaos of the sea, the depths. And in that sea was the primordial sea monster, the Leviathan. The creation of God, but someone that no one wanted to encounter. And if the rabbis are correct, and Leviathan swallowed up Jonah, then Jonah was literally swallowed up by a mythological sea dragon. The living embodiment of Dagon. And brought right back to Israel. Now the story of Jonah lets us know that the seas kicked up. The people on the boat were terrified. And they threw Jonah over when Jonah finally admitted that it was God that was after him. But imagine how those seafarers would have greeted Jonah being swallowed up by a sea monster. Now Jonah gets spit up on shore. It would be easier if Jonah got spit up onto the shores of Nineveh. That story would be easy because God would then take Jonah and Jonah would have no choice but to go. But the story that we read in today's scripture says Jonah had another choice. God gives Jonah a second chance. And so our story begins in the scripture that the word of God a second time comes to Jonah. And Jonah, who has been literally wrung through the worst that anyone could, people that were sailing on seafaring vessels at that time, they normally didn't have a clean life. But it's even worse if you're swallowed by a fish for 3 days, given up for dead, and vomited on the shore. I mean, that's the word that the scripture uses. You know, we don't like it when we're sick. Imagine when we're the sick. And that's who Jonah was. He was the sick. From the belly of the beast. From the depths of the seas. The worst of the worst. You want to know unclean? Jonah is unclean. And God calls Jonah a second time. Now, for those of you who think you're too unclean for God to use, for those of you who say, like the prophet, I'm an unclean man from an unclean nation with unclean lips, let me tell you something. When God calls you, your job is to say yes. And Jonah said yes. And he walked, and he talked, and he walked, and he talked through the city, sharing the word of God and the judgment of God with the people who didn't trust in the God who was offering judgment. And the people who worshiped the devil, the people who understood that the depths of the sea was where their home was instead of a home in heaven, turned and repented. They wore sackcloth and ashes, and they followed the word of God. Jesus himself says that those Ninevites are going to greet you in heaven. Because a man with a hard heart and a bad attitude went to Nineveh and said the word of God. Now, I want to explain why I just said that. Because the scripture doesn't give us any inclination that Jonah was any different in his opinion of the Ninevites after he preached. In fact, the next chapter, Jonah's mad. You would expect that Jonah was afraid of what the Ninevites would do to him. But what we find in the last chapter of Jonah, that Jonah's fears were that the Ninevites would say yes to God. Can you imagine that? Being afraid of having someone accept your invitation to church? Well, yes, you can imagine that. Because every time we put an ad in the paper or send a card, you know who you want that card and that ad to get to. We have an opinion on who we want. We want an opinion of who we want to catch when we throw our hook into the water. I've got fishermen sons. And we know what we want to catch when we go out. We want a walleye. We don't want a silver bass. No one wants a silver bass when they're wading in the Maumee. We want walleye, big ones. And when we catch a silver bass, there's not a single person that goes, yeah, another silver bass. They're mad because they didn't catch the right thing. And Jonah, after the people of Nineveh turned and followed God, was angry and his heart was heavy because he didn't want what God wanted. He didn't love who God loved and who God moved in. Our world has to learn the lesson of Jonah. The people of Israel had to learn that lesson the hard way. The church in America has to be careful that we don't learn the lesson the hard way as well. You see, Jesus wanted all people to come to him. But the Jewish leaders wanted only their people there. They had a very strict image of who was in and who was out. And Jesus' own disciples didn't make it in, according to those who were Pharisees and Sadducees. They weren't educated enough. They weren't clean enough. They weren't good enough. And those tax collectors and those prostitutes who were listening to Jesus, they certainly weren't good enough. It's amazing what we see when we see through God's eyes. God wanted Nineveh saved. And God sent the prophet who had been preaching salvation to his own people for years to a new land in a far off area to the enemies of God, to the enemies of his people. And he said, preach. And Jonah ran away, was reclaimed, was refuge on the shores. And then when he received the second message, he went. And the Holy Spirit exploded and saved an entire land. The people of God in the American church have to hear this. We have said no, and we've turned away. But we've been given a second chance. You see, if you say no and everything goes well, you don't even know you need a second chance. Only people who go bankrupt change what they do and have to try again. The worst thing in the world that you can do is limp along and never change. Limp along in life and never come to that moment where you realize that you're not what you're supposed to be. To limp along and never be captured by God and put back in that place of surrender. The American church is in decline all across the board. And we can pretend it's not true. Or we could recognize that we've just been swallowed by Leviathan. And what's left has been spit up on the shore. And now we got to clean ourselves off and simply say to God, send me where you want. I surrender. Now some of you are going to go cheerfully and happily. You're going to tra-la-la through the forest knowing that your second chance is great. And some of you are going to be angry and you're going to have a heart like stone and you're going to say, I'll do it, but I'm not going to like it, God. And here's the truth. It doesn't really matter. Because when you share God's word and open up to God's direction, when you do the will of God, God sets fire to the hearts of man. Say the right thing every once in a while. I had an old pastor who was Betsy's pastor as well. He used to say something that Betsy always remembered and I remember it. He said he didn't know whether he loved his wife because he kissed her or he kissed his wife because he loved her. And here's what he said. I'm going to keep doing both. Does it matter whether you love God and do God's word, or does it matter that you do God's word and you fall in love? At some point, both are important. Do God's will, and you'll be amazed at how much you love God, how much you see in God's mercy and God's love pour out of you. We have a second chance. And I'll tell you this, this shore, the teeming shores of wretched refuge that are coming in, all of the problems that we are facing, all of the difficulties that the church looks at and says, they're too big for us. Here's what I'm going to tell you. The enemies of God can become friends of God if the people of God will show love. The world that doesn't understand the voice of God can hear the voice of God if we would open our mouths. Those in Washington who won't listen will listen if we talk and we live like the people of God. We are the bait. We're chum. We're given to the world so that the world will swallow us whole. And so the world will understand and be attracted to the Prince of Peace and the Lord of Lords. I hope that you understand that God is bigger than our perspective, our politics, even our own interest. A church that tries to put self before God will never do God's will and will never bless the world. I'm glad that I'm in a church that has historically done God's will. And that when we have failed, we have hit our knees and we've prayed and we've taken advantage of the second chance. You don't survive for 160 years without second chances and without repentance. Today's a day to repent and take that second chance. Let's pray. Loving God, you have sent us into a world that only sees us as bait. The church seems helpless and hopeless. We are acted upon instead of actors in this world. And yet, we're right where you want us to be. Lord God, we ask that you would inspire us through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would help us to say yes to you, regardless of the state of our heart or our bodies. Help us to know that your call and your spirit is all we need. Help us here at First Baptist Church to say yes. Whether it's our first call, our second call, or our third, help us to share your word and to bring your will into the world by loving those whom you love in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We ask it all. Amen.